Hey, want to learn more about the last great fishing frontier? Then look no further than FishingCanada.com.
Oh, buddy, that's a tank.
The biggest and most comprehensive website dedicated exclusively to, you guessed it, fishing in Canada. Videos, blogs, how-tos, and GPS waypoints to some of Canada's best fishing hotspots and much, much more. We'll even show you how to prepare a world-famous Canadian shore lunch. If you love fishing, then you'll love FishingCanada.com. That's right. Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Angelo Viola, Derek Brandeo. I'm going to put him ahead of you now.
Oh, why is that?
You just dropped a notch. Stephen Labadie, Jessica Ellis, Nikki V next to me, my grandson. On the line with us, a guy who is no stranger to adventures. He works for one of the greatest adventure publications on the planet called Outdoor Canada Magazine. He is the associate editor for that fine publication. His name is Scott Gardner, and he joins us now, hopefully in Canada, back from a recent trip to South America. Good morning. How are you, Scott?
I'm great, thanks. Good morning to all of you guys as well.
Thank you. Are you in town, as they say?
I'm indoors looking out at the rain falling on St. Clair Avenue in Toronto, and I'm kind of glad that I'm not out in my kayak right now.
No kidding. Tell folks about kayak fishing, because you were one of the, one of the leaders in introducing those two items, and that is kayaking and fishing. And certainly you portray it on a regular basis in the magazine and also on all of your other endeavors in the outdoors. Tell people about the virtues and benefits and wonders of kayak fishing.
Well, I've been doing it for, I guess this is my ninth season in a kayak, so I've been at it a while, though there are definitely some pioneers who've been at it longer than I have. But to me, it's a great kind of low-tech, low-trouble way to go fishing. And it's interesting because I was just away at a trip in Eastern Ontario at a backcountry lake this week with three other kayak anglers. And all three of those guys used to have fishing boats, power boats, and they decided that it was too much trouble, too much expense, and they all fish out of kayaks now. So, you know, there's financial advantages. It's a lot cheaper. You don't have to pay for gas and parking. But also, it's just a great quiet way to fish, and you can fish in places that boats can't get to as well, like this backcountry lake we were in. So for me, as much as being in a pedal or paddle boat, you know, limits some options in speed and distance, it opens up a lot of other options that are, for me, really exciting ways to fish.
It goes with a lifestyle, I think. I've got a brother-in-law who drives me absolutely bananas, but he likes to think himself as an outdoors person, but outdoors to him is meaningless if you have anything motorized or technically advanced. I mean, his idea of outdoors has got to be, well, kayaking, canoeing, he's big on that, cycling, am I stereotyping saying that, you know, kayakers and cyclists are kind of in the same fraternity?
I think that is a bit of a stereotype. It's not correct. Now, there's sort of wilderness kayakers. You guys go out sea kayaking and just paddle for the heck of it. But I will tell you that most serious kayak anglers have, at the very least, sonar and GPS in their boats. Some of these guys I fish with have little downriggers they'll put on them to go salmon fishing in Lake Ontario. So it's not an opposition to technology or motors. It's just sort of the simplicity of the boat. But definitely, we're not snobs. You know, we're out there with six rods and expensive gear and all sorts of other fancy stuff. So there probably are some of the, granola anti-motor types. But I'd say that's a fairly small group of the overall, collection of kayak anglers.
Is it an age thing? For example, Nick, would you view kayak fishing as maybe being better than or more appealing to you than going out on FNC1, for example, and fishing off of
I've been kayaking, and it's pretty fun, right? Like, you just get to go wherever you want to go.
Right.
And it's pretty easy to do.
Okay.
So kayak fishing would also probably be pretty fun to do.
Yeah,
I haven't done it before.
Is it an age thing, Scott, or does it cross all age groups?
Well, one of my good friends who was on this trip with me, Don Willoughby, is 75 going on 76.
Wow. Whoa, okay.
And I'm going back to Panama to the lodge a second time in January, and he's coming with me to do that.
Okay. So, I need to talk to you about that. Talk to me about this Panama trip, because it sounds absolutely outstanding.
It is really, I mean, I've done a lot of cool stuff, and I love my travel in northern Canada, but this is definitely one of the coolest things I've ever done. So the outfit, it's an outfit called Panama Kayak Adventure, and we fly to Panama City, then drive across the country to pretty much literally the end of the road. Then we get into a panga, and pangas are these big open boats they use. I'm sure you're familiar with them in Mexico and Central America, yep. Like 26-foot open fiberglass boat. Yep. Then we drove, we took that an hour and a half down the coast to this little lodge, literally carved out of the jungle, and that was our fishing base for 5 days.
So
every day we would load kayaks into the panga, and these kayaks stack really nicely. They're pedal boats, by the way, and then go up or down the coast in one direction or the other, and they would drop us off and then stick around to assist us. So there'd be four of us fishing from the kayaks with the panga, you know, a few hundred yards away to assist as necessary.
Wow.
And we were fishing for just ridiculous saltwater species. The premier ones are Kubera snappers, which I don't know if you've seen them, but they're bright orange and they run about 40 pounds and they have these vampire teeth, and rooster fish, which are exotic and much lusted after fish, plus yellowfin tuna, Dorado, jacks. And
you can't tell me that handling, I'm looking at the images right now of all these gigantic fish that you guys caught down. You can't tell me that it's easy to handle those fish when you're in a kayak, especially if I'm assuming you guys release the majority of your fish. I know you do. Like, how do you do that trying to balance yourself in a kayak?
How do you not flip?
Exactly.
Well, I'm glad you asked that. It's actually easier than you would think. For one thing, we're fishing out of these Hobie Outback kayaks that are very stable. You know, people who've never been in like a modern fishing kayak, whose experience with kayaks is like a tippy old thing at camp or at the cottage, these are a completely different boat. They're very stable. The other thing, if you look at the pictures, you'll see, you know, we only have about 6 or 8 inches of freeboard. So when you've got that big fish next to you, you get it up to the side of the boat and then use a gripping device like a boga grip or a fish grip, get it on the lip, and even those big fish, you can just kind of haul them up into your lap. It's a lot easier than lifting it over the gunwale up into a boat, you see?
Wow.
And,
sounds fantastic.
I mean, still kind of a rookie with that type of stuff, because I have a fishing kayak.
Oh, right. I forgot. You're a kayaker.
And I'm always, because I want to fishing, I want to go fish muskie or pike, and I'm afraid of doing that and just flipping my, because I have a nice, I have a Garmin fish finder, I have like music playing, I have everything, like, I have it pimped out, right?
You're afraid of dragging that muskie up onto your lap, aren't you?
No, I'm just afraid of falling over.
Oh, okay. All right.
we'll give you one piece of advice. Which is, before hauling a muskie or a pike into your lap in the kayak, take out the bait with all the treble hooks in it.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine? Oh, I've just got that picture, man.
Did that happen to you, Scott?
No, but I have heard stories that I'm not going to repeat now, but that I have never forgotten the stories. So.
Oh, my God. That would be crazy. How long? Well, you were down there, you said 5 days on this Panama?
Five days. So it took 2 days to get there. So the whole trip was 9 days.
Wow.
But 5 days of fishing, and we stayed at the lodge. And, of course, we're eating fresh fish every day. You know, we had sushi made from yellowfin that was swimming 90 minutes earlier, you know. So and the lodge is really off the grid. It's just sort of solar powered and very cleverly designed to have just enough amenities, but it has a very low footprint. And the other reason the kayaks are great for this place that's so remote is if they were running a powerboat lodge, they would spend all their effort bringing in fuel, you know?
Really, they just
need to fuel the one boat, the powerboat. So that kind of adds to the lower footprint and the lower cost of the operation.
How many days were you off the water because of high winds and, you know, poor water conditions?
Zero.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it was good. And so it runs during the rainy season down there, which corresponds with roughly our early winter to late spring. I think they're open from December till June. And yeah. I know at times you can get some swells coming in that might shut things down, but I think that's relatively rare. And we were very fortunate. We fished all 5 days, and the coast along there is very jagged and full of bays and so on. And so you can usually find a spot, they were telling me, even if, you know, even if it's excessively windy, they can take enough powerboat and drop you off in a sheltered spot. So,
do they have all of the equipment for you, or do you have to drag your own stuff down?
You got to bring your own lures, which is an additional expense. I think I spent about $300 on lures to take down with me. But they supply everything, boats, wow. You know, heavy duty rods with 5,000 and 6,000 series reels.
Nice. Wow. Nice. Sounds fantastic. Where can folks get information on this trip? Is it in Outdoor Canada yet?
There's a story on our website, and okay. You can find that if you just put Panama into the search page on outdoorcanada.ca. And the operation is called Panama Kayak Adventure. You could just Google them as well. And I put a report on the website, and you can see some pretty cool pictures. And I'm writing the feature story about it. It's going to be a little more elaborate, and that's going to be in our upcoming January, February issue.
Yeah, the images are outstanding. Absolutely.
They're just mind-blowing.
Anybody, like, you salivate when you see those pictures of you guys hauling in those fish in the kayaks. You want to be there. So,
Well, there's a reason I'm going back. And it was quite a steep learning curve because the fishing took a while to get the hang of. It was so different from anything I've done. So I've got to go back because I learned so much. If I don't go back, I've wasted what I learned.
Here. I'm with you on that one, brother. That's all available on outdoorcanada.ca, outdoorcanada.ca. He is the associate editor, Scott Gardner. And we thank you for joining us, my friend.
No, thank you very much, Alex.
Have a safe trip when you go back. Scott Gardner, associate editor, Outdoor Canada magazine. Wow, what a wonderful adventure that would be.
It would be very cool.
Wonderful adventure. If a grandfather had a loving grandson that really cared about him, you know, he'd probably get like a trip like that maybe like at Christmas time. Under the Christmas tree, you know? I mean,
that'd be cool. Oh, I would love that.
It'd be so
something?
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
If a grandfather brought his grandson to Panama to go kayak fishing.
Oh, that would even be better.
I think it'd be even cooler.
Yeah.
Right. Not even for Christmas, I think, just because. Because, you know, he wants to.
I'm going to bring you to Bowenville. Go mudcat fishing.
What's a mudcat?